Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for chatting with us today. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in the Boston area.
Oh, so yeah, I hear there are no ticks in the eastern region around there, right?
Oh my God, it's brutal. I can't even go outside anymore.
it's like mosquitoes by lake.
Oh, it is. I live in the woods.
Oh, dear.
So
you get both, huh?
I moved to the woods to block the EMF, but now there's more ticks around me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You don't know which evil that you want to pick, you know?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, darn it. So how long have you lived there in the woods?
I've been in my current place for 7 years.
Okay, so because you moved there that you got bit, or did it happen?
Oh, no, actually, no, that happened in 1980.
Oh, okay.
I lived in coastal Connecticut at the time, not too far from Lyme, Connecticut. And little did I know that sleeping in the woods overnight was not a good idea.
In Lyme, Connecticut?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 10 years old. I'm with all my friends. You know, we build a fort in the woods. We sleep in the woods. You know, we all get tick bites. We're like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. We're
little did I know, 40 years later, it would kill me, almost kill
hard
me.
Hard lesson to learn, right?
Yeah, yes. we're men. Yep. We can handle it. We're 10.
right.
Oh, well, and then even with that, then you move into tick in the woods with ticks all over the place?
Yes. But luckily I have a deck so I can sit out and get some sun.
Oh, okay.
Ticks don't bother me, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So we don't need to put you in a bubble or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the EMF that you're escaping. I mean, that really aggravates a lot of the pathogens, so people tend to become so much more symptomatic, when they're in these strong EMF fields in the cities.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I used to live in downtown Boston. And after I moved out here, I went back in to visit Boston for the first time in 5 years. And within 5 minutes of getting off the train, it was unbelievable how I couldn't even breathe. I suspect it was the EMF and all the Wi-Fi in the train station, in downtown Boston. So that was one of my first clues that EMF was part of the reason that I remain sick from the Lyme. Mm-hmm. And that was, and I'm sure we'll get into, my healing process, but that was a major part of it, was EMF reduction.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen that with a number of patients dealing with chronic infectious diseases. yeah, the EMF plays such a huge role. So it all started in the woods when you were 10, and you didn't start feeling it until, you know, 40 years later.
It was off and on. So I remember 1980 was when I had the tick bite. Just had a very minor leg cramp, I remember at the time. But then I didn't have any effects from it. And then I had my first incident of depression, and that was in 1990. But then I recovered from that, and I was able to work pretty solidly for the next 18 years. And by 2008, I was so disabled that I had to completely stop work. And I was then disabled from the line for the next 12 years until I just started work a few months ago. So I was basically bedbound for 12 years from the line.
So bedbound, I mean, so you're dealing with depression, so that's kind of the emotional aspect. But then saying bedbound, then it hit you physically as well then.
Yes, and in my instance, it was almost entirely cardiac symptoms. I never really had a lot of the nerve. I had some of it, but I never had a lot of the nerve issues that other people talk about. In me, it was, I'd say 90% cardiac was the reason. And I was in a wheelchair for 3 years because I couldn't walk. And that was from the cardiac symptoms from the line.
Meaning that you were just too fatigued, you didn't have strength, you're passing out.
Passing out. I literally could not stand up without passing out.
Yeah. Yep. Heart was not strong enough to distribute kind of blood upwards.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Wow. So you didn't have any physical pain, so to say, just the cardiac. What about, did you have any memory issues?
Somewhat, but those were never really a big issue. You know, I was lucky enough that I could still do research while I was sick, and that kept me alive. You know, the things that I learned. So the mental side of it was never a big part of it, thankfully. It was weird that I was so excited when I first learned in 2009 that I had Lyme, because I never knew what was causing my health issues. So there was such a tremendous sense of relief when I learned that I never actually got depression, and the mental side of it I was so excited that I knew what was wrong with me, that I just devoted my energy to let's research this and fix it. So that really kept me motivated and going. You know, I didn't allow myself time to get depressed. Although there were some tiny windows of major depression. But for the most part, I was just, you know, because in 2009, up until then, I didn't know what I had.
Right.
So I went from 1980 to 2009, not even knowing what was wrong with me. So I thought, you know, I thought the doctors were right. I was going insane. I didn't know what was happening. So I actually celebrated when I learned that I had Lyme, because I finally knew what was wrong with me.
Yeah, you've been dealing with that for almost like 30 years, and until finally somebody was able to point it out to you. Well, that's a long time.
Exactly. Yes.
So did you get diagnosed through Igenics or a primary doctor?
Yes. I found a Lyme doctor. I was watching the Oprah Winfrey show on Discovery Channel called Mystery Diagnosis.
Love that show.
It's a great show.
And
I remember a patient came on with the exact same symptoms as me. He had the cardiac issues, and they showed him, you know, falling down on a sidewalk. And I'm like, wow, what's this guy have? This is exactly what's happening. And then they went on and showed the doctor, Leslie Fine in New Jersey. And I went right down to her. I scheduled an appointment right away, and she ran the Igenics test, and she diagnosed me at that time.
And what kind of, did they check all the different co-infections as well then?
Yes, and I did have most of those, if I recall. I think I had 4 out of the 5. I can't remember which one I didn't have, but yes, I did have all those.
Yeah, so four out of five, that's a B, that's a solid B, 80%, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you almost got an A of 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. So with all your co-infections that you had, and I mean, not to downgrade your cardiac issues from the Lyme, but it's surprising that that was the only symptom, so to say, that you had from the Lyme and the co-infections.
Yeah. I've always been surprised by that because, you know, and it's weird because when I was in a wheelchair, people would say, oh, wow, is it, you know, spinal issue? Is it a nerve issue? And I said, no, not at all. Purely cardiac. That was the only reason that I had trouble walking, was that when I stood up, I would feel this tremendous pressure in my chest. And that was the only major symptom that was the cause of all that.
Wow. So then did you go through treatment with this Lyme doctor that diagnosed you?
Briefly, I'd say it was only about a year. And then I started to learn other things that this Lyme doctor was not addressing. And so then at that point, I was pretty much off to the races on my own, doing self-treatment with various types of biohacking, the EMF stuff, for example, that we talked about. And she hadn't addressed any of that. And so I decided that, uh-oh, this doctor, as good as she is, she's only going to get me, you know, 50% of the way there.
Right.
So I need to take the rest of this and learn all this other stuff that she's not talking about.
So what are some of the other, I mean, you talked about the EMF and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but what are some of the other stuff that you felt needed to be addressed that wasn't addressed?
So one of the big ones that helped me was low dose naltrexone. And she, for whatever reason, just was not aware of LDN. And so that was a very big part, because I also got, in 2011, I had a lupus diagnosis also. And so the low dose naltrexone helped me to reverse the lupus completely after about a year. And then I realized that, oh, wow, LDN is an immune modulator. This probably helps with Lyme too. And so this was all happening around the same time, where I learned that, oh, wow, LDN, why isn't my Lyme doctor telling me about this? And so that's just one example. Another example would be parasites. She did not, other than Babesia, she did not talk about the other types of intestinal parasites that exist and that so many Lyme patients have. And so that was, if I had to pick one thing that was really the breakthrough for me, it was parasite treatment and literally seeing parasites come out as bowel movements. And I just had one last week that was like 12 inches long, a giant tapeworm that came out. So that's a big part. And I preach that a lot in Lyme groups, that people need to also treat, a chronic Lyme person almost always should be treating parasites as well.
I absolutely agree because I'm not sure that I know a Lyme patient that has not dealt with parasites before. So that's interesting that the Lyme doctor didn't bring up parasites to you. So you, among a lot of other people, had to be your own advocate and just kind of run with what you could learn and do. So I know that you still do deal with parasites yourself.
And that's my one remaining issue. Like all my Lyme and co-infections, those are gone. All the symptoms from those, although they weren't the major ones, all my other symptoms that I did have are gone. My only one remaining issue now is a lingering parasite infection.
And how's that impacting your body now? I mean, other than seeing things coming out of you.
Well, during the time that they come out, it's a very tough process with a Herzheimer reaction. But every time they come out, I get a new level of healing. And, you know, I've done so much healing now over the last 2 years with the parasites that I'm now back to work for the first time in 12 years. So that's obviously a good
That's great news.
Good sign, right? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm well enough. I'm well enough to work, but I still have days, you know, when the symptoms are bad from the parasites.
So with the parasites, I mean, what are you doing to get them out? Are you using pharmaceuticals, ivermectin?
No, actually. What I remember that I had tried parasite meds briefly around 2011 or 2012, and my body could not tolerate the die off. And so I decided to really do some deep research. And what I discovered was that you want to repair your mitochondria and also the electron charge in your body to get the parasites to leave on their own without medication. And so I did that for about 5 years. And then in 2016, that was the very first time that I ever saw parasites leaving on their own without any medication whatsoever. They would leave on their own as bowel movements. As I kept doing this electron/mitochondrial biohacking.
And what did that look like?
So the short list on that is lots of sunlight, lots of infrared light, which I use a biomat for that, but there are many other products on the market. The EMF reduction, cold thermogenesis. So exposing your body to cyclical cold exposure will improve what's called the electron transport chain in the mitochondria. So what you're doing is you're improving the efficiency of those electrons, and that over time, again, this is not a magic bullet. It's not like a parasite medication. Over time, you're making your body inhospitable to parasites. Parasites like your body to be in a bad electrical charge. That's where they're comfortable. But when those electrons come, and improving your electron status also correlates with a stronger immune system. And so those things all together cause the parasites to leave. And that's been happening now for the last 5 years since 2016.
And so you're not using any of like the Holda Clark, you know, where you do like walnut, wormwood, clove, or anything like that. You're just kind of biohacking your mitochondria, you know, supporting the electron transport chain.
Right.
And that is causing them to think that, you know, this is not the place for us.
Exactly. But I also am eating anti-parasitic foods. So I eat, you know, I eat a lot of ginger, for example, pumpkin seeds. But those things, I've been eating those things for the last 20 years, and they never dewormed me until I did that mitochondrial biohacking. And now, like, for example, the tapeworm I just expelled, I had been eating ginger for a month, and that I'm certain that contributed to the expulsion. But it was also, I also had a stronger base, you know, with the electrons and the mitochondria. Because when I did ginger before 2016, it never worked. I had never seen worms in the toilet when I had done large amounts of ginger before. Does that make sense? Yeah, sort of a multi.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. If you, a supplement, and yeah, people may take supplement at one point in their journey and it won't work then, but then when they create a different environment in their body and take the same supplement, you know, a couple of years later, and all of a sudden they have these amazing results, and that is exactly that, you know, meaning that the environment that supplement can function within is quite different.
Right, exactly. And you know how, you know, we're all raised and brainwashed by doctors, you know, take a pill, take this for that, you know, take a pill for this. And it with Lyme, it's more complicated than that. You need to internal terrain is the term that's often used. You want to rebuild that internal terrain and look at it as a whole system, as opposed to just, you know, taking an antibiotic, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely is a lot more than just taking antibiotics for a couple of weeks, like a lot of these doctors believe. So by you doing the treatment the way you're doing to get rid of your parasites, Do you feel that once they're gone, that they won't be able to invade your body again?
Yes. And the reason is it's almost a reverse snowball effect, because as you get rid of the parasites, that leaves your, it affects you in so many good ways. You know, you get better nutrition from your food. Your immune system has less of a distraction. And so all these things create, you know, a snowball effect in a good direction, where then it's easier to get rid of the other parasites that are still there. And, you know, that all builds on itself and you keep healing. And, you know, hopefully that gets you to the finish line.
And how do you know that you get rid of the Lyme? I mean, so symptom-wise, I mean, obviously you're doing a whole lot better. But was it through testing, or how did you know?
That's a great question. Yeah, I'm getting a Nigenix test actually next week to confirm it. But the doctor, my Lyme doctor, told me that she said you don't really have Lyme or any of these co-infections anymore.
And because what did they base that on?
She based it on just my symptoms. You know those symptom questionnaires where they ask you about, you know, 100 different symptoms. And she had compared everything to my medical history going along. So I guess I shouldn't, you know, I'm not 100% certain that the Lyme is gone. You know, I definitely am looking forward to the Igenix results. But at least as far as the symptoms, the non-cardiac symptoms, those are all gone. Like the night sweats that I used to get from Babesia, for example, I used to have like burning skin when I was trying to fall asleep. Like there were a lot of other symptoms that they were never as bad as the cardiac, but that to me, you know, I hope we'll see what the Igenix test says, but those are all gone at this point.
And you're not in a wheelchair. So let's hope that your Igenix test comes back negative,
right?
Negative in every way. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And I think that that's a fair way to figure out, you know, if you are Lyme free or not, is by your symptoms, because sometimes, you know, the testing can be so inaccurate that a lot of doctors will just diagnose you clinically with Lyme disease. So why can't we diagnose you Lyme free clinically? Makes sense to me.
Right. And I tell people, I'm trying to be as honest as possible. You know, I'm not 100% sure that the Lyme is gone, and I definitely know that I still have the parasite infection. So, you know, people get all excited because I went online. I said, "Oh, I'm back to work now," and they said, "Well, how did you get better?" And I said, "Well, I'm not 100% better." So, I always have to clarify that. So,
but you've come a long ways from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
right.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, not being in a wheelchair and
and back to work.
I mean, that's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
So did we, I want to back up just a little bit. What type of treatments did you, so you did antibiotics with your Lyme doctor and then you started.
Briefly.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't do the antibiotics for too long.
Okay. No. And then we kind of moved into the biohacking for the parasites.
Right.
What do you think got rid of your Lyme, got rid of all of your Lyme symptoms? What do you think contributed to that?
I definitely think it was the biohacking. And the reason I say that is I can use another reaction that I had. I also had mercury poisoning from amalgam fillings. And I got those removed in 2000, so 21 years ago. And for 18 years, I could never eat sulfur foods. And so an example would be eggs are very high in sulfur. And so for 18 years, I could never eat sulfur foods until starting like two and a half years ago, I was able to eat eggs. And I now eat 10 eggs a day with no reaction. And 3 years ago, that would have made me violently ill.
So did you start taking like molybdenum to kind of open up your sulfur detox pathways, or
what? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Molybdenum was, and supplements were a very important part of the biohacking that you were asking about. But also to answer your question, the Lyme did go away along with the mercury going away over that 18-year period, even though I didn't know at the time that that's what I was doing, if that makes sense.
Yes. Gotcha.
So you didn't actively, or did you actively work on clearing out the mercury, or did you just work on kind of opening up the detox pathways, you know, for it to leave naturally?
It was mostly opening up the detox pathways, because I learned that the body will naturally chelate heavy metals, and it'll do it very slowly over time. And so I would still take some supplements that I knew were helping with the mercury. So for example, I would take N-acetylcysteine, you know, a couple times a month, maybe. I would eat Brazil nuts a couple times a month. So I was always cognizant of the mercury issue, but I addressed it in a very slow and diversified way. I tried to attack it from different angles, because like Brazil nuts have selenium, and that raises what's called glutathione peroxidase. N-acetylcysteine will raise what's called a glutathione ductase, if I'm remembering that correctly. So I tried to hit it from multiple, those are just two examples. I would hit it from like 10 angles over those years. And that it worked eventually. It took 18 years, but it did work.
But it worked.
And why did you choose not to, you know, do like, you know, chelation, you know, IV chelation therapy, DMSA, DMPS, EDTA, you know, all those kind of things?
Because I couldn't tolerate those either. I had originally done IV alpha lipoic acid, and that I couldn't tolerate that. I tried oral DMSA at one point per the Cutler protocol. I couldn't tolerate that either. So I tried all the protocols and they never worked. And so I needed
you
to
were
take
kind of forced
push.
To figure out your own way to get rid of them. Yeah, right. Because I too had severe mercury poisoning, and I did the oral chelation, and it, the first couple of months was rough trying to figure out exactly what my body could tolerate. But I do recall it not being a fun time. That's
right.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. So you've just learned so much along this journey about your body and what it needs.
Oh my
and
God.
How it works. And
yeah, I've added it up. I've done about 25,000 hours of research since 1995 is when I started doing the research.
So I'm curious, how many hours is it for a doctorate?
I don't know.
It should be.
I don't know.
You should have passed that by now.
Oh, good question.
I do. I always jokingly say I could be a doctor, a psychiatrist, and a pharmacist. I just don't have any credentials for it. From all the learning you have to do and advocating for yourself when you're fighting the Lyme journey. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, I had to. I had no choice. I was a week away from a nursing home. I had no choice.
Wow.
I said, I'm either going to be a vegetable for the next 50 years or I'm going to. And so I had to just research every waking hour that I wasn't detoxing. I was on Facebook or on Google doing research. Mm-hmm. That was it.
That's crazy. That's amazing. I love to hear that, you know, because a lot of people talk about the expense part of treating Lyme disease. And, you know, a lot of people say that I can't afford to go to a Lyme literate doctor. And I get that, you know,
right.
It's expensive when you start, you know, adding in all these things. And so it's nice to hear from somebody that has pretty much done this journey on your own. You know, not that it was free of cost, but very little
right.
cost to do, you know, the supplements and stuff that you have done. So it's great
right.
for you to share that so that people do realize that just because they don't have money doesn't mean that they can't get rid of their Lyme. So I think that's super important.
Oh, yes. And on that note, one of the things that I try and tell people who are starting on the journey is that the biggest problem when I look at it in hindsight, the biggest problem was an information management problem. That was a harder problem than the actual execution of the treatment. In other words, if I could go back 20 years knowing what I know now, I could probably condense this down to, you know, a much shorter process.
Right.
instead of 20 years, because it was constantly having to relearn, you know, mistakes that I made, you know, bad assumptions that I had, because, you know how the scientific process works, you know, it's right. always, it's a constant process of iteration and learning. And so that was the biggest problem, was the information, you know, organization, if you will. And, you know, obviously the treatment was, that was a hell ride, no question about it, but it was the information gathering that was the biggest challenge, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then having your own body as a research lab, and then obviously if the research went haywire, it was not the correct application, then...
Oh, yeah.
that sucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know, you're right. I was my own guinea pig. Yeah, I was taking risks, absolutely.
Well, so with the EMF, you know, going back to that, you know, so... I mean, I know a lot about it, but I wanted the listeners to be aware of it as well. So why the EMF? I mean, why are you getting out of Dodge Town?
Are you asking?
Why did you leave EMF? You know, why was that so important to you?
Why are you living with the ticks right now?
Yeah, exactly. Why did you choose ticks instead of civilization?
Well, one of the things that I stumbled on in my research, let's see if I date this, I'd say 2013, that was the first time that I really even heard of the EMF issue. And I was like, wow, what is this? You know, people online here are telling me that, you know, my computer and my cell phone are killing me. I said, oh, this sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I'll look into it. And so I did, and I started to read the science on the toxicity of the various forms of EMF that we're all exposed to. And I still didn't quite believe it. So, but I started to, you know, experiment with it and do some biohacking. And I learned pretty quickly that it was a major issue for me, because I bought an EMF blocking blanket. And I was still skeptical. And so the first night that I used it, I slept under this blanket, and I'm like, this isn't going to do anything. When I woke up in the morning, I had the deepest sleep that I had in literally 40 years since I was a little kid. And that was when I knew, wow, I was totally wrong in this EMF thing. I had movie-like dreams. I had forgotten that I had stopped dreaming for years. And so the very first night under this EMF blanket, I had like 4-hour movie-like dreams. And it was unbelievable. I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is real. This is real. And it's not the placebo effect, because I was expecting it to not work. Right. That's how much of a skeptic I was. So I ruled that out quickly. This is not placebo. This is real.
Yeah, those silver blankets, you know, they're awesome. But a key, you know, which is what I assume you had, was one of those with silver threads in them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the key is obviously to not have a bunch of appliances underneath you, or, you know, any kind of electrical devices underneath you, because then you'll just be bouncing that field, you know, onto you.
Exactly. And yes, there are many best practices with EMF reduction. And yeah, you raise a great point on so many of these devices, the vendors, they don't tell you everything you need to know. And so what you just said is exactly right. That's why you need to go into the groups, the EMF groups, and they'll tell you to make sure that you're not trapping EMFs inside your silver. Some people use a tent also, a silver tent. You obviously do not want to trap things inside that tent.
Yeah, you shouldn't be playing with your cell phone inside that tent. That's not a good
idea. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it actually, that's a great point, because it actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
When your cell phone has to work harder to find a tower, that makes the EMF signal strength, I believe, much stronger.
Yeah, and it keeps bouncing inside that tent. So instead of getting hit once, you get hit again and again and again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I interviewed, I'm not sure if you know who Peter Sullivan is. He's big into the EMF research and So yeah, interviewed him on one of my radio shows, you know, that I have with HealthMate Radio. So it's a fascinating field of research, and it's crucial, you know, nowadays with everything that's going on.
Right. Exactly. It's a rabbit hole. Yeah. And it's so frustrating because I try and tell people, you know, I try and teach people in groups who are just starting on the journey, and they say, oh, EMF, can I just buy one of those pendants on Amazon? They say that it's 100% proven. And I say, no, unfortunately, it's a very complicated process to mitigate the EMF because there are so many different sources. And so that's the problem, is that there's no silver bullet. I wish there was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a silver bullet for anything in life.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, is there anything before we close? I mean, is there anything that we missed that you really feel this is crucial to touch on?
I think we've touched on most of the major things. There's a couple of things I can mention real quickly. There's one supplement that I put it in the number one position, and that's called Shilajit. And other people, another term for that is called fulvic acid. And there's a million different vendors out there, and I'm not going to name any of them because some of them are MLMs. But people can find this on their own. Shilajit or fulvic acid is so important because it gives you rare earth minerals and other trace minerals that are also combined with organic compounds. And our food supply is so bad that unfortunately we need to take mineral supplements, as you know, for curing Lyme. And the Shilajit is really one that I recommend people get, along with, you know, the other ones everyone's heard about: magnesium, vitamin C. Those are common and well known in the Lyme community.
Right.
But I really think the Shilajit that's something that I've been taking for a year and a half now, and that's been a major breakthrough for me. Major breakthrough.
Yeah. We'd like you to share, you know, different things that work for different people, because nothing works for everyone. So the more tools we have in our toolkit, the better off we are to be able to try to beat this. So
yeah, we're hoping that the people listening to this show doesn't need to do 25,000 hours, you know, that we can maybe cut it down a little bit. Yeah.
and on that note, I will be launching a website by the end of the year where I try and organize all this and put it in a format where people can I don't want people to have to do all the research that I did. So my goal, my dream is to have step, you know, A to Z, step 1 to 100. Here's what you do on day one. And that's what I'm building right now to release for people as soon as possible.
That's so awesome. That's very awesome.
And kind of an additional note, you know, before we close, I mean, the fulvic acid is huge in regard to clearing out glyphosates out of the system. So
yes.
in addition to obviously working the Lyme and kind of remineralizing the body, it helps to clear out these glyphosates that really impact us in so many different ways, you know, so.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, yep. Well, Bill, thank you so much for chatting with us. For willing to share, you know, the most important pieces, you know, from all the 25,000 hours of research. Yeah. I need to send you a diploma or something.
Oh, please. Just, I'm sure you can find one out there. Yeah. I'll hang it on the wall.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Bill.
Yes, thanks so much for sharing your journey with us and for everything that you're doing for the Lyme community. It sounds like awesome. It's going to be amazing. So thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Thanks.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.